Okay, Golf WRX. It's the newest episode of the Gear Dive brought to you by Titleist. I'm your host, as always, for the last show of the year, Johnny Wonder. It's December 30th, 2020. It is Tiger Woods' birthday. Happy birthday to the big cat. The show is centered around Tiger Woods. I'm going to give you a few, I think everybody on the show knows that I'm just a super Tiger fanboy idiot guy. You know, and I'd say 80% of the people that I talk to are, you know, hand in hand with me in that regards. They are big Tiger Woods fans. 20% of the people, you know, feel like it's a little overblown, whatever, whatever. But I'm going to explain myself on this show. I'm going to go in depth. There's about, we'll call it three or four reasons, main reasons why, you know, what I've seen from him since the first time I saw him, which would be at Sawgrass. Actually, no, that's actually not true. First time I ever saw him, I think, is when he won his third U.S. Junior, actually. The one he won in Oregon. I don't remember that what one that was, the second or third one. It was the first time I actually kind of heard his name, saw him. Anyway, I'm going to get into just my Tiger Woods story and you know, my affections towards the big cat and all that stuff. But we'll get into that in a second. But a couple of things here in regards to Titleist. And I mean, this is, you know, they've been a great sponsor of the show in 2020. I'm very thankful for having them as a sponsor. But, you know, usually when I, you know, when I plug Titleist, my instinct is to plug a piece of equipment or a ball or a new driver or whatever. But I wanted to say for the last show, I wanted to say more for the Titleist brand and my respect for that brand. You know, it's been around for a long time. I know a lot of people at that company. And you know, they do things in a way that, you know, you have to respect. You don't have to love all the equipment that they make. You don't have to play their stuff. You don't have to love their golf ball, but the way they do things, the way they get things done, Titleist as a brand, the way they treat people, the way they treat us in the media, the way they strive to improve every year and get better. And, just the professionalism they hold themselves to across the company, from the people in the ball plant all the way to guys on the tour truck and all the way up into the front office. It is just a very, very family friendly, awesome, you know, very American brand. And I was very proud to have them as my title sponsor for the Gear Dive this year. So if you're going to get fit for a ball, a driver, wedges, irons, whatever, there's, you know, there's so many people there to learn from Bob Volke, Aaron Dill, you know, the stuff I do with JJ Van Wiesenbeck on the tour stuff. Obviously their staff is fantastic. Scotty Cameron, you know, just, there's just so much going on over at Titleist. So if you get a chance, if you're new to the game, and you want to, you know, kind of dig into a company and see how it's really, really done and how it's really well done, go to Titleist.com and, sign up for fitting, get, do a ball fitting, do a club fitting, whatever. Go ahead and check out that company. I'm very grateful. They were my sponsor. Once again, go to Titleist.com. They're at Titleist on Instagram. You know, if you've never heard of Titleist, you're living under a rock, but, if you're not familiar with the country, dig in. Very, very proud to have them as my sponsor and want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for supporting the Gear Dive. And, you know, I have a lot of friends over there and happy to call them friends for the rest of my life. What a great company. So that is the Titleist plug for today. Thank you, everyone over there. Josh Talge, Eric Soderstrom, Aaron Dill, Bob Volke, Stephanie Luttrell, JJ Van Wiesenbeck, Joey Sawitz, Jeremy Stone. I guarantee Joe Gomes. I guarantee I'm missing a bunch of people. Just a great company. Very, very great company. I think I said Josh Talge. Josh, JT, if I forgot your name, I'm going to throw you in there as well. Anyway, thank you, Titleist, for the ninth time. Okay. So we're going to talk about Tiger. So let's start with this. I'm going to start with this comment. And I'm going to justify it over the next 20 or 30 minutes. And I've said this to people a bunch of times. And back when I was still drinking, which is, you know, going on almost 8 years ago, 7 years ago, excuse me. I used to love talking Tiger Woods when I was drinking. And the line that I would always start off with was, he is better at golf than anybody has ever been at anything ever in the history of mankind. And I still stand by that comment. I don't think anybody has been that good at something ever. Now, not his whole life. He's had his ups and downs and this and that. But at a certain time, for him, I'd say it's a couple of different times in his life. And I'm not talking about 97 to 2000. I'm literally talking about like 2000 to 2002 in 2005 to 2009. So we'll make it 6 years where he was just, it was like having an Avenger play on the PGA Tour, the stuff that he was doing. And, you know, you can go through the videos on like YouTube. You know, there's always like the, you know, top 50 Phil Mickelson shots or top 50 Rory McIlroy moments, this and that. If you go to the top, you know, Tiger Woods moments, there's like 1,000 of them, you know, and they're not like, look what he did at the Greater Greensboro Open, you know, 6 years ago. It's like, look at him chipping out 16 at the Masters. Oh, look at this putt he made at the U.S. Open. Oh, look at this thing at the PGA Championship. Look at like the 30 times he's won the WGCs. Look at like what he's done. The only place he's failed in his life, I'm not going to get to the personal stuff here in a second. Like, I'm going to leave that to the side. On the golf course, the only place he's really kind of sucked is the Ryder Cup. He's never really had that. Like the Tiger Woods thing has never really kicked in at the Ryder Cup. Maybe a few times, but not really. President's Cup for sure. Like, he's had his moments. Obviously at Harding Park in 2009 with the club twirl and the little 3-iron he hit into the par 5. There's a bunch of things he did in the President's Cup that were pretty awesome. Ryder Cup, you know, he's been lackluster. Not as shiny as I'd like to see him in the Ryder Cup. But just the amount of content that that guy has produced with golf shots and the things that you can swipe from and look at throughout his career, it's if you take a look at it from like a 35,000-foot view, the only thing I can compare it to is Michael Jordan. That's it. I mean, and, you know, he had teammates. Like, this is just Tiger Woods playing, you know, playing by himself. So I'll start with the first time that I knew that this was kind of a different, and I totally remember where I was, and I totally remember what happened. So obviously, you know, he just won the U.S. Amateur at Pumpkin Ridge, which was, you know, all three of his U.S. Amateur wins, you know, when he beat Tripp at Sawgrass, when he beat Buddy at Newport, and then he beat Steve Scott at Pumpkin Ridge. All three of them, he was the favorite. He won. He got challenged. You know, he had his moments where somebody could have picked him off. Like, in all honesty, Mark Plummer from Maine probably should have beat him. I think in the semifinals at Newport, he kind of had him on the ropes for about 12 or 13 holes, and if he would have just kind of put the pedal to the metal, he probably could have beat Tiger. Obviously, Steve Scott gave him a run for his money. Steve Scott should have won that match. But, you know, the hand of God came in, and only Tiger can produce the hand of God. Tripp Keeney, you know, people would say, well, Tiger was six down. Tiger was playing terrible, and Tripp Keeney was playing awesome the first, you know, 12 to 18 holes of that match. And then it started to normalize. And when it normalized, Tiger caught up with him. That's kind of what happened in the first match. It wasn't like both guys were on fire. It wasn't like Bob May and Tiger to 2000 at Valhalla. It was like, Tiger was struggling and Tripp was playing really well, making everything he looked at. And then finally reality set in, he ended up losing. But I digress. I remember watching him at, you know, he won it in Vegas. And the Vegas win was sloppy, but he ended up winning. He had to shoot really low and he ended up beating Davis Love in a playoff. So I was like, okay, cool. He got his first win. I wasn't really shocked. I was like, okay, this is cool. And then he went to the Disney tournament. And I think he ended up shooting 64 in the final round, 64, 65 in the final round to beat Payne Stewart and Taylor. I think it was Taylor something. This guy got actually disqualified because he had like two tour velvets on his putter. But I remember thinking like, okay, this guy just came out on tour. You know, he has a second. I think he lost to Ed Fiore. You know, ended up coming in fifth. I think he shot his wad like, you know, in the final round. And then I think he ended up finishing second or third to somebody. And then he ended up winning. But I'm sitting there watching this. And I remember his dad got sick and he went to the tour championship and played and really struggled. And I'm kind of in that 2 to 3 month period. I'm like, I wonder what this is going to look like. Like, I wonder like if all the hype around this guy, and it wasn't hype, it was fact. Like, the guy was doing everything he was hyped up to do, which is very rare. He came onto the scene with hype and the hype was real. Like, he was doing the magic tricks. So it wasn't like the promise of Tiger Woods. It was like, here he is. He's doing it already. So he won twice in his rookie year. He never even sniffed having to consider going to Q school. But then we get to the Mercedes tournament. And I remember it was the Saturday of that tournament. It was 1997. And I remember sitting. My parents were still living at the house I grew up in over in West Seattle. And oddly enough, at our house, the only TV in our house that got cable, like got ESPN, was in my parents' room. So, you know, the bed in my parents' room was like literally like right next to the TV. So I'm sitting in the corner of my parents' bed watching Tiger. And I remember, I don't remember what hole it was, but it was a longer par three. And he hits 5 iron from like 205. And the sound it made coming off of the television set was just frightening. And I'd watched a ton of guys, Davis Love, a bunch of guys hit shots and, you know, 4 or 5 irons into this hole. And Tiger gets up there and hits this big peely fade into this hole and hits it up to like 4 feet and makes the putt. And then just absolutely vaporizes a driver. I think it was on 15 or 16, the par five, and he hits it over the crosswalk. And, you know, Curtis Strange is just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's just kind of freaking out about what, the fact that he hit it. But then this kid gets up from like 258. Nobody had really reached the green all week. I think Davis Love almost got to the green with a one iron, a driver and a 1 iron. But Tiger hits the longest drive and gets up there. And I think it was a little bit of a crosswind. And it's on a downslope because it's on the backside of a cart path. And he hits this big sweepy slice 3 wood into the green. Hits the green in two. Now, the oddball thing about that is it's the guy in the moment and everybody's like, I hope he hits the green. And I remember watching this, like, of course this guy's going to hit the green. Like, my expectation was like 9 out of 10, this guy hits the green, and he hit the green. Like the moment was there, it was his to take it, and he took it. And I'm like, this guy just takes every moment that comes to him. He never doesn't have a moment. So then, you know, he goes to, you know, he's tied with Lehman going into the final round, and it was like this big to-do about who's going to, you know, I think Lehman was like the number one player in the world at that time, and we're pretty close to the number one player in the world, and, you know, Tiger was on the rise, and, you know, these guys are going to battle it off. Now, obviously, that morning it just pours rain, and they, you know, snuff it off into a, to like a one-hole playoff on this par three. And, yeah, I want to say it was like 185 yards or whatever the hole was, and obviously you guys can see the highlights are on YouTube, but you go and watch, you know, Lehman gets up there first and just hits this big rope hook and, you know, big Jeff Nelson slider into the left water. And you guys know the Mariners reference. And this guy gets up there and hits this 6 iron after Lehman just hit 5 iron into the, you know, he takes a club less and just pipes the 6 iron. And it wasn't like he hit it to 10 feet, made the putt. He hit it to an inch to win. It was like the biggest, you know, dagger that you could possibly see. And that moment, I'm like, this is so different than anything we're ever going to see again. And I remember telling my dad, calling him at work. I'm like, did you see Tiger? Cause I think this was like a Monday finish. If I remember correctly, the whole tournament was like rained in, and I believe it finished on a Monday. If I remember correctly, I remember talking to my dad. I'm like, is he going to win every tournament he plays in? Like, I feel like he's going to win every tournament. And, you know, I think after that, he went to, I think he won the Byron Nelson, the Western, and obviously he won the Masters that year. And then, you know, we all know what happened at the Masters and yada, yada, yada. He went on and won 4 times that year, you know, moneyless title, you know, number one in the world. And, you know, everything was kind of cruising along. But even then, at that point, even after winning the Masters by 12, it was still sloppy. Like, there was still a bunch of holes. He was still gettable. It wasn't like he was still hitting it mile past everybody and was doing everything really, really well. But he wasn't like that autopilot dominator that he had. So then you get to like 1998 and he's starting to do the swing changes and, you know, starting to mess with his equipment a little bit. He changed irons. He changed into a new driver, you know, putter's a little bit different. And that was the first time I'd ever really seen him live. I actually went and saw him play at Sahali at the PGA Championship. And watched him in some practice rounds and watched him play his first round, which he actually tied for the lead. I remember at Sahali. He tied for the lead or was in like a one-shot lead at the first round of the PGA Championship. But it was – to watch it was like – it wasn't like he played so well. It was electric. It was like he was electric because he was electric. He just looked different and did everything differently than everybody else did. And you know, just you couldn't take your eyes off the guy. And Fred Couples, who like literally levitates in Seattle, even he didn't have the same kind of aura that Tiger did walk around Sahali. And Fred Couples is like the crown, you know, diamond child coming out of Seattle. He's probably the most popular human being ever to come out of Seattle besides like Pearl Jam and Nirvana. And I remember just like, this is so bizarre. Like at some point in the next 5 or 10 years, like this guy's going to rule the planet. You can just feel it. It's like this weird aura energy you can just feel. And I'm getting to my point here. The reason I'm walking down this timeline is just so you can see how this whole thing builds. That's why I'm talking about it in this context. If you get bored, you can fast forward to the reason. This is basically reason one, which we're going to get to right now. So he goes through the swing changes, 99. You know, he struggles with the first top half of the year, and then he just goes off. In, you know, after he wins the PGA and goes to, you know, I think he wins at Firestone, and then he wins a bunch of other stuff, and then he goes to battles Miguel Angel Jimenez over at Valderrama, which to me I still think could probably be the toughest golf course in the world when the wind blows. And he starts winning everything. I think he won 7 or 8 times that year. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But I remember going into the 2000s season going, this guy's going to play 20 times, and I think he might win 19 or 20 tournaments. Like, there was nobody close. And Duval at the time was giving him a run for his money, but Duval didn't have the firepower that Tiger did. And I'm not talking about the distance. He just didn't have, like, the energy firepower that Tiger did. So when he starts peeling off victories, he had a good career in 4 week stretches. And the point I'm going to make first is Tiger Woods has had 15 or 20 players good careers, maybe 30 players good careers. Like, he's won, what, 81 times, 82 times on tour? So what do we consider like a top career on tour? It's 5-6 wins. You know, without a major, that's a good career on tour. That's a really good career. You're not a superstar, but you're having a pretty damn good career. Do the math. Like, that's like 15 or 16 tour pros that he's amassed in his career. And then on top of that, what he's done on single golf courses, Bay Hill, Torrey Pines, obviously Augusta, all the WGCs. I mean, you go to Cog Hill, all these places that he's just dominated at. You know, what he's done at Bay Hill, he's had a good career at Bay Hill. He's had a good career at Firestone. He's had a good career at Torrey Pines. For any player, you take his wins at Torrey Pines and you stamp them on somebody else, that guy had a great career. Tiger did that at one golf course in one tournament. Like, that to me is mind-blowing. And the argument's always like, well, yeah, Jack did this and Jack had more seconds and he almost did. I understand all that. I'm going to tackle the Nicholas versus Woods thing on this show as well. But the point I'm trying to make here is Tiger Woods, one man, just as a player, one man, what he's done, if you really look at it, is frightening compared to how many careers he's amassed, like in just this one, in this one thing. In this one, you know, 82 win span, plus whatever he's done over in Europe and all these other things. I think he's won over 100 times. Not to mention everything he's done, you know, before he even turned pro. It freaks me out, the amount of wins that this guy's had. And you have to add to this, since 2010, and I know he had a little run in 2012 and 2013 when he was with Foley. I think he won 8 times in there. And, you know, that wasn't Tiger Woods, in my opinion. He didn't make the putts when he needed to make. He had a couple of, you know, cool shots. I think he had a couple of flop shots that he made against Ricky Fowler. He had some good moments in there, but it wasn't the Tiger Woods that we know, that we saw from 2000 to 2009. It wasn't the same guy. And anybody that argues that point, it's like, it's not even close. That was not Tiger. That was Tiger 0.5. That was just a good golfer playing good golf and happened to win. But you basically have him at 82 wins, or 81 or 82 wins right now sitting here. And the last, you know, what's going to be 2021, the last 11 years, 12 years, we haven't really had Tiger the way that we know him. He hasn't been Tiger Woods in 12 years. That is scary. So he's going to turn 45 today. So basically since his 32nd or 33rd birthday, we really haven't had that Tiger Woods. And you can sit there and go, well, you know, he had the scandal and he had this and he had that. To me, it's like, okay, then great. Take the scandal away and take all the social pressure he put on himself by doing everything he was doing behind the scenes. What would he have done if all that wasn't a distraction? Like, what would 2010 would have looked like, 2011, 2012? The argument I always get was like, well, yeah, his swing is deteriorating. He wasn't happy with Haney. Sure, but it's the chicken or the egg argument. It's like, if he hadn't been doing all this stuff on the side, maybe his feelings toward Haney wouldn't have been the same. Maybe that rift all started because of, you know, Tiger was resentful at himself. Therefore, he's resentful at the world for what he was doing to his family. But who's to say if Tiger would have had his moral compass in a better spot I don't think you'd be worried about 82. I think you'd be worried about the number would be 125. You know, 100 wins in 25 majors is where we'd be right now. And there wouldn't be a dispute. Tiger did everything he did, and this is the point that I'm going to make. Tiger did everything he did and really didn't help himself out all that much. He never truly found a family life until now. He never had that nuclear family support that he really needed. He had it came from a dysfunctional family. He isolated himself. He did everything he could possibly do to break himself down emotionally, physically. Every opportunity that came for him to set himself up for failure, he did. He trained too hard. He changed his swing. He ran around with a bunch of girls. He hung out with the wrong crowd. He, you know, his father, his relationship with his father was complicated. You know, he came from a broken home. You know, all these things. And you just go, bada, bada, bada. I mean, was the world against Tiger Woods? No. But did he do himself any favors to calm his life down? Zero. He did nothing to calm his life down. He just kept adding chaos into it, which to me is fascinating, which is why I'm obsessed with the guy. I'm like, you know, I think it was on another podcast. It was an Urban Golf Performance podcast. And I'm like, the only person I can compare it to is Donald Trump. The ability to seek out chaos and jump into the fire and just want to live in that fire constantly is a skill set that I can't even understand it. Some people can do it. And when the athletes do it, like the Michael Jordans and the Tiger Woods, and they can live in the fire, they can do some special things when it comes to stats and wins and stuff like that. You may not like them and want to hang out with them, but what they can do on the field of battle is unbelievable. So now I'm going to get to the Nicklaus Tiger Woods debate. Yes, Nicklaus has less wins. He's got more majors. He's got more seconds in majors. Arguably probably played against deeper fields. I would say the top half of the best players in the world when Nicklaus played, I would say, of the top 20, I would say it's an argument can be made that he was against three or four more better players than Tiger was. So you could say, you know, it was Nicklaus, then he had Player, Trevino, Weisskopf, Miller, Arnie for a second. You know, then you got to throw in the Roy Floyds, the Tom, you know, obviously Tom Watson's in there. There's a lot of great players in there. Tiger had Ernie Els, David Duval, Phil Mickelson, and then, you know, some European tour players. I mean, you could say Lee Westwood, but he didn't have like the 30, 40 win players that Nicklaus was up against. That's an argument that I will always bow down to. Like, I think Nicklaus had a harder time. There was less room for him to win when he won his majors than there was for Tiger. Totally understand that point. Nicklaus didn't deal with the extra stuff that Tiger Woods did. So Tiger Woods did everything that he's done. So he's got 15 majors and I think 82 wins. By sort of self-sabotaging himself at every possible turn. Nicklaus did not. Nicklaus put himself in a bubble, stayed in a bubble, a very healthy bubble. And his aversion to drama and his aversion to chaos allowed him to just focus on his family and focus on golf. There really wasn't any more BS for him to deal with. They're wired completely differently. So people will say, like, you know, Nicklaus had that killer instinct. Nicklaus was a great golfer. He didn't have the Tiger Woods, I want to eat your heart out instinct. They're two different, totally different human beings. Nicklaus is a optimal chess player. Tiger Woods is a hunter, killer, gatherer, soldier you send out on the front line that's going to destroy things. Like, he goes scorched earth. That's the difference between the two. And I would put my reputation on line to say they would probably describe themselves the same way. I don't see Nicklaus being as competitive and insane as Tiger Woods was. The mental focus. Not the mental focus, just the tenacity. You can be mentally tough and smart and competitive, and not be high level crazy like Tiger Woods is. And when I say crazy, I mean just intense, savage, you know, that Michael Jordan blood, Tiger blood, I want to rip your face off. They're two different human beings. So if I look at them and I'm putting the two, say for example, they're going to play a match five matches, best of five, and they're all going to play them, say, at Augusta. We're going to put them to Augusta. We're going to put them at their peak, both of them at their peak, and they're both going to play Augusta. And I would probably take, like, 2007 Tiger Woods or 2006 Tiger Woods, somewhere in there, one of the Haney Tiger Woods, against, you know, early 70s Jack Nicklaus. Early 70s and mid 70s. We'll say 1975 Jack Nicklaus. That's kind of when he's at the, you know, peak of his powers. I'm taking Tiger Woods. Nicklaus will get him a couple of times, but when there's blood and they're fighting for their lives, Nicklaus just doesn't have that thing that Tiger does. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. People will argue this to their blue in the face. Like, it's almost like if you're looking at two racehorses, the two greatest racehorses, you can kind of tell, like if you're taking War Admiral and Seabiscuit and somebody that really, really knows the difference between the two can just see it in their eyes. And I look in Nicklaus's eyes and I see a nice, kind man that's really good at golf. I look in Tiger Woods' eyes and I see fury. So the Nicklaus thing, is he the greatest of all time? If on paper they're 1-1, because Tiger's got more regular season wins and less majors, and Nicklaus has got more majors, and you know, but they're statistically, the amount of tournaments they've played and what they've done over a period of time, Tiger had a better career than Nicklaus did. Sorry, it's just the truth. He did more damage in less time, with way more drama. So the other point I'm going to make here about why Tiger is undisputably the greatest thing ever, you know, whether you say in golf or in sports in general, what he did from 2005 to 2009, and I'm not going to go too far in this because I've said this a million times, with everything he had going on in his personal life, for him to play the level of golf that he played, I think, I was talking to Hank Haney, I think Tiger Woods' win percentage was like 42% or 44% in that time. I think his like top 10 percentage was like 78%. What he did in 2008, I think he played seven times, won five. His worst finish was T5, and he finished second at the Masters, like on a broken leg, and then he just hung it up in July, right after Father's Day. I think he still won the money title that year. He played in six tournaments. Like, that's frightening. That is completely frightening. And all the whole time he's doing this, the whole time, he's not only doing this, he's doing this on, you know, obviously injured, doing stupid things to his body, all the Navy SEAL training, running too much, you know, powerlifting, whatever he was doing. You can go back and just Google what he was doing. It was just a bunch of craziness. But he was performing at that level with all of this, all of these secrets going on and injury, and having his first kid, and just all this stuff going on, and the guy's still doing all that. Nobody on the planet that I've ever seen, maybe Michael Jordan, I've never seen an athlete that's been able to maintain that level with the amount of, like, maintain that amount of action in one life and perform at that high of a level. Nicklaus couldn't do that. I'm sorry. It's not happening. No, none of these guys today, Rory, Brooks Koepka, they wouldn't, like, there's no freaking way that any human being could have put themselves through what Tiger Woods put themselves through and still operated at that level. Furthermore, nobody in this class that we're looking at right now or in the last 10 years, Rory had like a 6-month run where he looked like he could go on like a Tiger Woods type run, but no one's done Tiger runs before. We won six. I think he's won six in a row, three times. I think he's won more than four tournaments in a row. Like the numbers in like tournaments in a row is bizarre. It's out of this world. Nobody that we're watching today has gone on runs like that, nor are they capable of it. And we're talking about a guy that teed it up 13, 14 times a year, would have 10 or 11 top 10s, would be in the hunt every freaking week, and have that one off week where he broke his leg or somebody died that he'd missed the cut. Like, that's Tiger Woods. So, as a human study, as I watch an athlete, you know, I was fascinated with Michael Jordan, I was fascinated with Ken Griffey Jr., because to me, they were the best in their class. Tiger Woods, if those guys are 9.9s, Tiger Woods is a 10.0 when it comes to like the best, the best, the best, the best, the best. And I don't think we will truly appreciate his greatness until he's legitimately hung it up. And as a media member, and I have to say this, you know, as honestly as I can, he moves the needle in my job when Tiger's in the field or if Tiger's around. Like this PNC Challenge with him and Charlie Woods, it's a nothing tournament. Like nobody really covers the PNC Challenge. It's fun to watch because it's fathers and sons. It's like it gives you the fuzzy feeling. Tiger Woods and Charlie Woods are in it. The amount of DMs I got about Charlie Woods' iron and what's Tiger, what's in Tiger's bag, and look at their swings, and the amount of media coverage that those two human beings, this father-son combo, brought to that little tournament over in Florida that typically nobody, people just kind of watch because it's on, was insane. They basically made that tournament an event. That tournament's been around for 20 years. I dare anybody to say they've watched it every year or even five times. Everybody will tune into that next year and the year after that. As long as Charlie Woods and Tiger are playing in that tournament, the whole world will watch that tournament as much as they watch him play at the Memorial or him play in a major. It'll be the thing of the holiday thing is to go watch the PNC, and I guarantee the TV coverage will go from 2 days to they'll add a third round to it and they'll make it full live coverage. It'll feel like a major. If those guys keep playing, as Charlie grows up, nobody moves the needle like that. And the amount of energy that it comes, like when Torrey, like he'll play at Torrey. I don't know if he's playing Abu Dhabi. I don't know if he'll play in Dubai at all, but he'll, you know, theoretically he'll show up somewhere, you know, show up for Torrey this year. He doesn't really compete that well at Torrey anymore. He doesn't hit it as far, but just him being there and like what's in his bag and the new TaylorMade gear he'll have in his bag and yada, yada, yada. The best players in the world will show up to Torrey. The whole thing's about Tiger Woods, and he's what, like the 50th ranked, 60th ranked player in the world? Like, it's, if anybody not named Tiger Woods, it's who cares? He's still going to be the most important thing at that tournament. He's going to be the biggest draw, and he's not even really a remote favorite to win. Who does that? Nicklaus didn't have buzz like that. Like, Nicklaus won the Masters at 46. But it's not like he showed up and all eyes were on Nicklaus. All eyes were on Nicklaus after he started going off in the back nine. But other than that, like Nicklaus is like, oh, there's Jack Nicklaus. He's the greatest, blah, 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 blah. But there was other people distracting the idea. Tiger Woods could be tied for 30th and everybody's still watching his scores. I was a kid when Nicklaus was at the tail end of his career, when he was at this point where Tiger is now. I didn't watch a lot of golf, but I watched enough to know. It wasn't the same. 10, 11-year-old kids that watch golf now know where Tiger is at all times. I can't say the same for Nicklaus. Obviously, it's a different world with social media and this and that, but like just the energy and the amount of curiosity to go and watch to see what happens with a certain player wasn't the same. So, as you can hear, I'm recording this in my kid's playroom, and there's a lot of chaos going on upstairs, so I'm trying to talk a little louder than normal. But I'm on a good run here, so I'm going to keep going. So, I'm going to get to the two greatest moments that, in my mind, if I had to watch two Tiger moments, these would be the moments I'd watch. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I guess the point I'm trying to make with the first 30 minutes of this babble is I challenge everybody to really, really take a hard look, not only at the data, but at the headlines. And of the harmony that's there over the last, you know, Tiger Woods from 1997 to say 2009, just isolated to those years before the scandal, and take the scandal out of it for a second and just watch what he did in that 12-year span, right? And know that the scandal was there. So that basically started in 2006, I think 5 or 6, and went on for about 2 or 3 years. And then you have all the injuries and everything else he was up against, swing changes, yada, 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 yada. And you start to write all this stuff down because I've done it. I've bullet pointed like, okay, Tiger had this surgery. He had this surgery. He hurt his shoulder. He did this. He did that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, he started the scandal here. Then he got busted over here and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just going through all this stuff. And you go to Nicklaus like in the same time frame. Obviously, Tiger won way more in that time frame than Nicklaus did. But it's like there's a picture of Nicklaus and his kids. There's a picture with Nicklaus like a Cadillac ad. There's a picture of this. The press isn't chasing Nicklaus around like they did Tiger Woods. The amount of coverage he has to deal with, the interviews, like Nicklaus could go off. People would say he had more competition. Yes, but Nicklaus could go home and hide. Nicklaus could go to the grocery store. Nicklaus could go to Hawaii on a trip with his kids and paparazzi weren't chasing him down. Totally different lifestyles. It all affects how it ends up in the numbers, by the way. It has an effect. And I don't think Nicholas was wired to handle what Woods went through. Not even close. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's the Nicholas thing. Okay, so now we're going to get to my favorite Tiger moments and why. And I'll kind of end it with where I think his career is going to sort of go. Okay, moment number one for me was the 2008 U.S. Open. It was the funnest, call it 54 holes of golf I've ever watched. Hands down. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of the Torrey Pines U.S. Open was just fascinating. And that doesn't even mean, like, I'm not even including what he did on Friday afternoon, where I think he shot 6 under or something like that on the back nine with Mickelson, to kind of get back into contention. And he was struggling a little bit. And, but the last 4 or 5 holes on Saturday, actually the back nine on Saturday, it was probably the funnest 9 holes of golf I've ever watched in my life. You know, he makes a bomb on 11. He makes a bomb on 18. He chips in on 17. He's hitting it all over the place. But he's making putts. He's fist pumping. He's on one leg. He's hunching around. He's hitting these big slice 5 woods into par fives. And, you know, it was just a mess. But it was so much fun to watch, because every opportunity that presented itself for greatness, Tiger grabbed. Every single opportunity he had to shine, he shined. Against all odds. And if you talk to Rocco and the people that were involved in that whole thing, you know, Rocco's told me 20 times. I woke up that morning knowing I was going to beat him, because I was out golfing him. The only thing I didn't factor in is the fact that it's Tiger Woods. I don't know how much piss and vinegar was in his belly. But, like, I was up against Tiger Woods and something else that day. And then, obviously, you know, what he did on Sunday. I mean, who makes that putt on those? The greens are just trash by that point. He makes this bumpy, you know, 9-footer. After hitting, like, you know, this just slashing a lob wedge out of the rough, you know, he's already pissed off because he hit his drive in the bunker. You know, that had par written all over it, and he made birdie. And then he goes in the playoff and starts thumping on Rocco. Rocco comes back. He has every opportunity to beat this guy, and it goes to like 20 or goes to 19 or 20 holes. It's just brilliant. You couldn't have written a better script than what happened at the 2008 U.S. Open. It's just greatness. It's why we watch golf. It's why we watch Tiger Woods golf. Until 2019 Masters. And I'll say this to start. The 2019 Masters was the greatest comeback in human history for a public figure. Maybe not for every, I mean, there's obviously people that have done some things of bravery and amazing things, but as a public famous person comeback in history was what Tiger did when he finally won the 2019 Masters. You know, they're standing on the 12th tee, you know, Molinari hits first, dumps it in the water. It was over that moment. You know, you could see it. You can actually see, you know, the glaze over Tiger's eyes. Like, he hits it in, he's starting to do the math, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I can already see Tiger start to go, oh, he hit it here. So that means I'll go even with him here. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden he's starting to do the math. And the whole world knew it was over. If Tiger Woods hits the green on 12, it's over. There's no way this guy doesn't hold on and win this thing. And I remember sitting there, and he hits it 35 feet left of the flag, right in the middle of the green. We were supposed to hit it with a 9-iron. And then he gets to 13, makes the easy birdie. Then they get to 14. You know, where I knew he was going to win is he hit perfect drives on 14 and 17. 14 usually is a good hole for Tiger. 17 is the one always screws him up. He always misses the fairway left to right, and he always ends up making bogey there. He always, for some reason, always ends up like in front of the green or to the right of the green with some weird awkward chip from short. Now he ends up having a 7 or 8 footer that he misses, and you know that's what happens to Tiger when he doesn't win the Masters. 15 pumps a drive, hits just a perfect 5-iron into the middle of the green. Molinari's making a mess of the hole. Tiger makes an easy birdie, and then they get to 16, and this is the difference between Tiger Woods and everybody else. So Tiger Woods hits an awesome iron shot in there, but Tiger Woods knows that not only do you have to hit it high up on the right slope, but you also have to add a little hook spin to it. So if you watch him hit that shot, he kind of swipes across it to get the ball to start spinning right to left. And if he hits that just flush stock shot, I don't think it rolls down the hill the way it does. But he, you know, gives it a little right-hand English, and the ball I think that's what it would be, right-hand English. And, you know, the ball hits the green and sort of kind of just kicks left right when it hits the green and ends up rolling down about 2 feet from the hole. That is Tiger Woods' knowledge. And I guarantee if you ask him, like, did you put a little extra right hand into that thing to make sure it turned over when it hit the green? I guarantee he'd say yes. Then he gets to 17, hits this perfect little peeled fade off in the middle of the fairway, makes an easy par there. And we get to 18. The whole world held its breath when he was short of the green on 18. He had that, you know, after the guy had the chipping, yep, it's not, you know, to add all the rest of the crap he's put himself through. Then he had his whole body broke down over the last 10 years with a bad back and whatever. Then the guy just gave himself the chipping yips. So I'm watching this thing on 18 going, oh my God, the whole world wants this guy to win. And he's down there in the Nally Valley, chili con carne special down there. We've seen it go awful for him. And he gets up there, makes his five and wins. And I don't think that there's anybody that was a golf fan, even people that weren't Tiger Woods fans, everybody had tears in their eyes. If you didn't, you're not human, because we all know the story. Like, whether it was self-inflicted or the world did it to him, it doesn't matter. Like, the path that that guy went on to get to that final putt on Sunday at the Masters in 2019, that journey would have killed 12 out of 10 people. It didn't kill that guy. And then to see Charlie run up to him and give him a big hug afterwards, and him with his family, was sort of like, I mean, what could you compare it to in a movie? I mean, it's like, I can't even think of a movie that had a moment like that. Maybe Field of Dreams when he says, you want to have a catch? Maybe. As far as an emotional moment, that's the only moment I can think of. I'm trying to think of another one. There really isn't. Seabiscuit against War Admiral. That's pretty awesome. Where you get that kind of a feeling, that pit in the stomach feeling, that amazing one. That's it. Like, who does that? And that's just one moment in Tiger Woods' career. That's just one moment. That's at the tail end. He did all that stuff, all that great play. Had a great season, won the Tour Championship. Oh, by the way, he won the Tour Championship in 2018. That was a huge moment. Did you see the 9 million people that were following him down the fairway? That only happens with one person, him. And he had arguably the most popular player in the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, with him. None of those people were there to see Rory McIlroy. God bless his soul. Nobody gave a shit. They were there to see Tiger. And then, you know, after the Masters, he wins the Zozo. And I've said this on my show, too. How many people sat up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Tiger win the Zozo? Everybody. People that don't even like golf, you know, stayed up to watch that golf tournament. If Rory McIlroy's in the lead, nobody's staying up. They're going to watch the highlights on the Golf Channel. Like, that's the Tiger Woods effect. So, you know, once again, it's like, I can even say this, like, him winning in 2019 was a bigger deal than Nicklaus winning in 86 to me. Because Nicklaus wasn't like, whether it's like, once again, whether it's self-inflicted drama or a bunch of bolt, like, the life is the life. Like, you still have to live the life. It's like, it doesn't matter how hard you make the track for yourself. You're still having to run through it. So for Tiger Woods to create that difficult of a track, a life track for himself, and still get to a moment like that after everybody said he was done, myself included, who's the biggest, you know, Tiger fan bitch in the history of the world. Just like, who does that? Who does that? I just love the guy. I don't even know him. I don't even know if I get along with him. Like, he seems really sterile to me. If I look at Tiger Woods, I don't know if I'd have like a really awesome conversation or if he even talked to a person like me. But I don't even care. I don't even need to talk to the guy. I'm so thankful I got to watch him and study him. He's fascinating. He's like the greatest thing ever. Okay, so what does this look like in 2 years? For the next couple of years and into his 50s. Few things have to sort of add up. One is he's obviously, you know, if he plays in the same amount of tournaments that he played in this year and the performance is the same, I don't think he continues on this path of, like, still trying to play at the highest level. I think he, you know, right now he's sort of in a kind of dip your toe in the pool type scenario where he's, like, still trying to play in enough tournaments to stay active and obviously plays in the majors and really preps for him and is still trying to peak at the right times and this and that. But I think his putter is wearing him down, puts a lot of pressure on the rest of his game when he's not putting very well. I think if he gets his putting sorted, I think we'll see him not only contend a lot more, but I also think we'll see him, you know, win and have a little bit, a few more years. The putter right now is the biggest question mark. He's never really been a great driver of the golf ball. I don't think there's a world we live in where Tiger Woods becomes, you know, Bruce Litsky or Fred Funk. I don't think that's happening. I don't think he's going to pick up 20 yards. He doesn't seem to be the type of player that's ever going to be in the 180 ball speed guys. He's just not that, his back won't allow it anymore. He's going to have to get really, really proficient with the putter and hope that his iron play stays the way that it is. For him to win. I think he would have had a better year last year if he would have made any putts, especially in the majors. If he would have made any putts in the majors, I think he would have contended in a lot of them. He just didn't. The putter sucked. So that's what it looks like for the next couple of years. So it remains to be seen. What it looks like at 50, I think he plays in the USGA events like the US Open, Senior Open. I think he'll play if he's still exempt for some of them. I don't think you'll ever see Tiger Woods in a USGA qualifier. I don't think if he doesn't qualify for the majors, he won't play in them. I just don't see it. I see him playing in the US Senior Open. I see him playing in four or five tournaments on the big show, as long as he's healthy and playing well. But by the time he's 51, 52, I think we're going to see Tiger Woods two or three times a year. I don't think we're going to see him that much, and it'll be more ceremonial. I don't think he really feels like he needs to play all that, past all that. I think he gives it as many shots as he can between now and the time he's 50, to see if he can't pick off a couple more majors, which is kind of the only reason he's even out there now anyway. And I think he starts to focus on Charlie. Now, the Charlie Woods thing is an interesting one because the expectations are already really high because he's so good at 11 years old. And we all saw he pounds it. He's got the swagger. He's got everything just like his dad. None of that equals greatness. We have no idea what this kid's going to be like. He could end up being a lawyer when he's 18 or 19. We don't know. It's a fun story to track, and I love watching it because I love watching Tiger Woods, who still is now like, if you watched his interviews after, you know, everybody's asking about Charlie, it almost felt like Tiger Woods was talking about himself. Like, he just wouldn't give anybody anything. Where I know deep down inside, he's like, did you see my kid? Like, did you see him? Like, did you see him pound it? Like, it would have been fun to hear Tiger, you know, gushing a little bit more in the interviews. But it's just, I don't even think he knows how to do that. I think he's just so used to being buttoned up, that he doesn't know how to like really have the dad moments in these press interviews, and probably a little bit trying to protect Charlie a little bit, but he doesn't want to make that whole situation familiar to everybody. So he's trying to keep it as sterile as possible, which I get, but it would have been fun to watch him kind of get all jacked up on his son. But when it comes to Charlie Woods, guys, we don't know what this kid's going to do. It's fun to watch right now. We're only going to see him at the PNC. Unfortunately, next year, if he plays in any kind of junior golf tournaments, you know, they're going to follow him around, and it's going to, like, Charlie Woods is going to turn into a thing. And yeah, I hope they keep golf fun for him. And I say they, I mean us. Because, you know, it's like growing up as Michael Jackson's son. You know, if Michael Jackson's son all of a sudden, like, you know, stepped on a dance floor and just started, you know, peeling off like his dad does, like, it's a hard life, man. What a talent, but it's like now the expectations are just, you know, out of control, and it's no way to live. So, but it's fun to watch nonetheless, and I'll keep watching. I wish that little guy the best. He seems like a good kid. So, that is it, man. That's all I got for this show. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Happy birthday, Tiger Woods. Hope you guys enjoyed the gear dive. It's the last show of the year. Not 100% sure when I will be recording another show. I might take a couple weeks off. I don't know. We'll see how I feel. But it's been a fun year. Hope you guys come back and listen to some more stuff in 2021. So anyway, guys, signing off for the rest of the year. You guys take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the holiday. It's Johnny Wonder, the Gear Dive, brought to you by Titleist. We're out of here.